My wife Bethany, whenever Lee said hello, I just asked her if she had something, we'll just see, but just come and say hi to the nun.
Hello. I'm really glad to be here. Lovely, lovely country, and I believe that you're lovely people. And part of the family God, it is so vast. Mm-hmm. It is so expansive. Sometimes we feel like we're all alone, just our little group and no more. Mm-hmm. But God has a body all over the earth. I often think if they would just rise up, they would outnumber any group that would try to ruin governments, that would try to cause war. If people, and I believe the time is coming when the army of the Lord is going to rise up.
Yes.
They're not going to be ashamed. Amen. And you know, faith, the Bible says it's impossible to please God in your faith. And faith doesn't have to be hard. Faith, the Bible talks about different kinds of faith. Jesus mentioned some have small faith, some have great faith. To everyone, there's a measure of faith. You might say, well, I don't have any faith. Faith makes impossibilities possible. Faith brings unseen things to be seen. Amen. All of us have a measure of faith. And it pleases God. God reacts to faith. Amen. I often think of this little example I mentioned to my students. If I were to put a plank on the floor, let's say
2 by 6,
yeah, you know, whatever. It's not too wide, not too narrow, and I asked you to walk across that without falling off onto the floor. Probably every one of you would say, I have faith to do that. Mm. But if I took that same plank, hasn't changed, and I were to put it on a high building like a sky rise, you know? And I would put it across to the other building. And I would say to you, okay, that same height hasn't changed, and you walk across that now. How many of you would probably attempt it? Nobody. What changed? Your faith wavered because you looked at the circumstance. Now it changed everything for you. What you once thought was possible, now you think is impossible. God honors faith. And I know that you're a faith-filled people. Don and I had a long life of 59 years together of putting God to the test. Our faith's been put to the test. God has been put to the test. And you know what? It's never failed us. Not one time. Sometimes we would get so close to the end and say, well, when your back's up against the wall, when you're at the end, God's there.
Yes.
God's there. Yes. And I lived 1,000 miles away. You probably don't know much about me, or maybe not much about God, and there's been nobody here to tattle on him. He come from the East Coast of Canada, and I was from in Ontario. And God brought him across my path 1,000 miles because he already had foreordained that we should walk together and what we should do. Amen?
Yes.
Nothing's impossible with God. Nothing. I like that scripture. It says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And many of us desire things and pray for things and think we have faith for things that are not what God wants for us. And we don't get the answer. He shall give you the desires of your heart. Well, I desire this. I desire... No. He's going to put the desires there in your heart. They're going to be His desires that are in your heart. And then when they're His desires in your heart, He'll give you anything. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. My background was... my parents were German, Pennsylvania Dutch. My mother was an Amish girl. You know what the Amish are? Yeah. She was an Amish girl. And she found the Lord after she left that religion. And she found the Lord when she was close to 40 years old. She'd already had a family. And I had siblings that were way ahead of me, long gone. I was just the trailer on the end. She was in her 40s when she had me. She had lost several children in between. A sister had died and a brother had died and maybe miscarriages. She said, I don't want any more children. And along come I. She told me this later. She said, I found the Lord, and therefore you are different. And I said to the Lord, I'll have this baby if you will take her for him and do something with their life. If there's a purpose for this baby, then my other losses don't mean they won't hurt so much. I dedicate, and before I was even born, she dedicated me to the Lord. And I just praise God every day. I found the Lord at 10 years old for a definite. Okay. 9, I tried it. For a definite. 10 years old. And God gave me such a love for the Word of God, I got into my Bible and would memorize chapters at a time. And it was phenomenal. And I never looked back once. And then God brought this person into my life, and we've been just going strong ever since. Oh, we've had our trials and our heartaches, but God has been faithful, like I said. Don't ever give up on God. Don't ever give up on God. He's an everlasting God. I often think, the Bible says He's from everlasting to everlasting. So how can He have anything but eternal thoughts in His mind? Like, we think this life is it. Yeah. I'm almost 80. We think this life is it. No. My eternal God's thoughts, He knows where I'm going to be way off in the eternity. Because He's from everlasting to everlasting. Praise God, I better not get preaching anymore. He's got to get these children through the water.
It's no secret what God can do.
What He's done for others, He'll do for you.
We'll all fly over.
Secret, what God.
You inspire my faith. You inspire me. You look at me, and every time you look at me, it's like, Don, don't. Of course you're going to do it. Now, you don't know a thing about that. I know that. I know you're thinking, like, what are you talking about? But, you know, so good my voice is. In 24 hours. Absolutely phenomenal. What did you say?
It'll be fine, it's getting stronger.
See what I'm saying? He just agitates me with that. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Bible says we're going to go here one
day.
Yeah. Don't discourage. Anyway. Hallelujah. So when my wife got up and I said to her, do you have anything to share? Okay. I don't want to say too much. But I thought she did okay for having nothing to say.
Yes.
So what happens when you take that step, or you have to? It's amazing what will happen. Because it's in you.
That's right.
Inside of you is something powerful.
Yeah. That's right.
I'm in Exodus. I'm in Exodus chapter 14, and a big event's taking place. When we read that chapter, a huge event. It's phenomenal. God isn't just doing a miracle for one person. He's doing a miracle for thousands. And it's the same miracle. That's a miracle. The same miracle for thousands. What he's done for others, he'll do for you.
Yes, amen.
Say he was in the meeting. Okay, you can argue with me all you want. Out of that many people, there's got to be a Sadie. And she was in the meeting, and somebody said to her, she couldn't move very fast. And he said, what do you want us to do? We're going to walk across that piece of property, and we're going to go over to the other side. And she's thinking, what are you talking about? Look at my age. You think I can do that? And somebody said to her, the man of God said, you're going to do it. Why would he talk so foolish? Why would he say that? Because God told him to tell us. Now you think about that for a moment. A lot of times we're going to think, well, that thought never entered my mind. But I'm going to tell you right now, I would rather listen to a man or a woman of God that can tell me God spoke to me. I find that so encouraging. When I was called into the ministry, I knew I was going to be. I knew the calling was there at a very early age. I went to a church where, you know, prophetic was not encouraged in any way, and there was certainly no laying on of hands. Once a year, we had two hymnbooks in the church. We had a red one and a blue one. But we never sang out of the blue one. And I said, well, why don't we sing out of the blue one? And they said, no, we only do that when we have a convention or a conference or special meetings. I went to that church for years. They never once sang out of the blue one. Nothing special ever happened. But God's the judge of that. They were faithful in what they did. And amen. Let's go to Exodus 14, verse 1. I'm going to start there. And the Lord spake unto... You got it. Remember this. The Lord spake to Moses. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. And God spoke to Moses. Here's what he said. Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pahath-Haraph. Mm-hmm. Okay. Between Migdol, mm-hmm, and the sea over against Baal Sephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. Not a good parking spot in the natural. For Pharaoh will say unto the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. Now, who's God talking to? Moses. He's revealing stuff to Moses. Nobody else knows what's going on. They're wondering why they're there. You know, it's a nice coastal place to visit. You know, beaches to play on. But they're slaves. They've been in a mess for hundreds and hundreds of years, entangled and bound. God said, I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them. I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. That's what God wants to do in emergency. And that's what God is doing in your life. He always wants you to know that He is the Lord. He's the Lord of, and I'm using words you're very familiar with, every circumstance, every tragedy, every event in our lives, He's the Lord. And He says, the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And that's what happens. It's quite important here that everybody does what God says. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. The heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this? That we have let Israel go from serving us. See, they like to lord it over. They like to lord it over Israel. And there are people in your life, people, whether they're family, friends, or business associates or whatever, they like to lord it over you when you start talking about the things of God. We don't discuss religion in the office, but we discuss Trump. But we don't discuss religion. We don't want that. I remember I worked for various firms when I was a young pastor, and one was the school board just outside of Toronto. And as far as I know, I was the only employee they ever called in, set me down before they finally gave me the job, and said, you will not bring up the subject of religion on the job. And I looked them right in the eye, and I said, I promise you, I will never bring up the subject of religion. You're hired. I said, thank you. I went to work. God is my witness. I worked there a year or two, maybe. I don't think there was one day we didn't discuss God and all that's wrong. And guess what? They brought it up every day. And who am I? You know, to be so ignorant and not talk to my fellow employees. You understand? See, it's amazing what God is doing in our lives. You know, one of the great concerns I have, I preach in all kinds of cultures, all kinds of languages, been doing it for many years. And when I look at it and I see people that knew what it was to move in the Holy Ghost, know what it is, to be demonstrative, not just know that there's a Holy Ghost. Just like being a Christian. Well, I've been saved, but never acting it. Am I getting too close? Okay. All right. Do you remember the days when we come into a meeting and the Holy Ghost may hit somebody at the back door and they'd be slaying and laying there the whole meeting? Remember those days? Do you remember the days when the power of God would hit you and you start dancing, chairs would be going everywhere, and people be running to the altar. Remember any of those days? Do you remember the days when the preachers would say, we're going to cast out demons, and demons would come flying? Do you remember the days when they would lay hands, and cripples would walk, and the blind would see? Do any of you remember those days?
Oh, yes.
I know you do. I believe that people can say, well, God doesn't move that bad anymore, Brother Don. God will always move godly. God will always move God ways. And He gave us the Holy Ghost down inside of us. And that Holy Ghost, we hear from God. And we have to be obedient to that to change this world of ours. Do you realize the population growth in the world is phenomenal every year? In the United States, I forget what the number of churches that close a month. A month! They're in the thousands. A month. Yes, I know some open. But that's not bother you. When COVID hit, remember that? Of course you did. Let us do your question. I'm doing my best. All right. COVID hit. It was the perfect time for people who weren't too excited about the things of God. Little groups just closed their doors and never had no plans of ever opening them again. Okay, that's fine, but you know what? They stay home. I can tell you right now, I know of many, when they closed the doors, they just stayed home. But when you have got an ocean to cross, and you've got an army that's after you, and you've got a call of God on your life, you're going to go across it. Mm-hmm. You're not going to look for a way not to go. You're going to look for a way. Can I start now, Lord? What? Run. My wife always says to me, and if she's with me in the airport and we're going somewhere, she'll say, slow down. Remember what the doctor says. I don't even remember what God says. Could be a long flight to Southampton in the morning. Do you hear me? I want you to catch the mentality of the people. They knew nothing about the miraculous. Very little. I mean, they had come through 9 plagues. I will give you that. But overall, number of hundreds of years, they didn't know what it was to have the power of God move. Do you know my great concern that I have is that the church will fall into the dark ages. I have that concern. And some people said, well, it was so dark we had 400 years of dark ages. But all during the dark ages there was a people that served God, filled with the Holy Spirit, and moved on.
Yes.
Here's what I want to tell you. If God's got a people like that, don't you want to be among that number? I do. Don Carpenter does not want to be left out of that number. If God's doing it, if something is happening, I want to be a part of it. I remember when I came into the things of the Spirit back in 1962. And in 1962, God led me into a bunch of people that were filled with the Holy Ghost. The very people that I told and promised my father I would never get entangled with them. Too fanatical, too crazy, too noisy, and the meetings are too long. What I didn't know was people would fall on the floor. I thought they died. This loving church didn't care about them whatsoever. Matter of fact, they'd rejoice when somebody would drop. And this is true. And I'm looking and I'm thinking, what's wrong with you people? Those people have just fainted. They probably got a heart attack. And I remember I was so adamant about it. Once your sister went like this to me, shh, it's all right. And I'm thinking, all right! But you see, when you don't know, you're innocent. When you don't know, you don't experience it, and you're not tuned in. So, I was 18 years old, and I was 4,500 miles from home. and God had a plan. And these Israelites left home, the only home they've known for over 400 years. They left home. The home was comfortable. They got three meals a day. They were allowed to work till they dropped. Sounds a lot like 2025. And all of those good things. They had medical care. They knew how to do a proper funeral. I mean, come on. It's fantastic. Let me get this guy that arrives in town. A fugitive at that. A man that's got a criminal record. Arrives and says, "You're all leaving town. You're going to get out of this land, and you are going to return, and God has a promised land for you." Now, when I think about that, church, when I think about this, that God has a promised land for me, and somebody will say, "Oh yes, Brother Carpenter, when we get over into glory, it's going to be wonderful." I'm talking before we get there.
Yes, amen.
And I am talking that we can have a relationship and a walk with the Lord that we don't know whether we're in the body or out of the body.
Yes.
Some people worry about dropping dead. But I'm going to tell you this. You won't know it. That's the wonderful part. You won't know it. The family will, but you won't. And you'll be just, wow. Matter of fact, for a moment or two, you probably are going to wonder, you're going to look back, you're going to see that old carcass laying there. But you know what? This God has made a way for us to cross our obstacles.
Yeah.
He's made a way for us to walk where we've never walked before. He's made a way for us to inherit the promises and the dreams that people talked about us. Our ancestor told us. We have a book. In this book, look at this. There was, and they were, and wow. You're going to say, "What book?" I don't know. Don't ask me that. But I'm going to tell you right now. They crossed over. So, I'm trying to read on. Does anybody have a clue what verse I stopped at? And it was told, I'm in verse 5, the king of Egypt, that the people fled. You need to flee your bondages. We need the church to flee all the hang-ups. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let them go from serving us?" And he made ready his chariot, and he took his people with him. Well, they never come alone against you. Did you ever notice? Whenever the enemy comes at you, there's usually more than one. And he took 600 chosen chariots. These were crack troops. All the chariots of Egypt and the captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He pursued after the children of Israel. So that's no surprise. We get victory. We feel like God has set us free. And it looks like we get up in the morning, the enemy is there pursuing us. That's a big battle time. That's a time right there, guys, when you step out for your miracle. And the enemy tries to grab you at the last minute. He says, "Don't be so foolish. You can't do that." I have an evangelist friend, an American preacher out of Florida. He's a good friend of mine. I haven't talked to him for 25 years. But I want to tell you something about him. Him and I have flown together, preached together. He does a lot of work in Central America, Haiti, those places. He couldn't talk. 16, 17 years of age, couldn't speak. And his mother sent him off to the store to get cigarettes and milk or something. This one night. Do something about it. This one night. Little church, you walk by it many times going into the store. But this night, the door was open. Not just the physical door, but the spiritual door. Well, you know what happened. He did get to the store. I think he got to the store. I think it was on his way back. And he ended up in the back row. And the preacher was one of those who believed that God could do anything. And he come up and he knew, he found out Bobby somehow or other communicated to him. He couldn't speak. And the man of God laid hands on him and Bobby spoke. The people were crazy. They were going wild. He ran home. I don't know if he took the milk and the cigarettes and the bread with him or not. He ran home. He ran into the living room. And he said, "Mama, Mama, Mama, I can talk." She said, "Boy, don't be so foolish. You can't talk." See, Bobby often tells that story. I won't tell you about the night we were flying. I was in Florida preaching something. I went down to his meetings and we were going to Fort Pierce and we were flying. He said, "Let's take the plane tonight." I said, "Let's do it." And we lost all electrical power somewhere. But anyway, that's another story in the dark. But we landed safely, okay? And they figured out we weren't drug dealers. But I'm going to tell you right now, don't be like that. Don't be so foolish. God isn't doing that. You can't do no such thing. So you see, when this one man had the understanding, the awareness, had the word, if you will, from God, park here, camp here, and God, what are we going to do? And God said, "Stop talking to me. Just do it." "Oh Lord, what am I going to do? Jesus, what am I going to do?" Stop talking like that. Just do it. If you need a miracle, start walking toward it. That's what I do. It's amazing what you can do when you're put into the position. I've told you the story, but there's probably several here that haven't heard it. I was flying from Northern Ireland, coming to Southampton. A businessman had sent his pilot and plane up, and they were flying. You know, I don't always travel like that. You know, I get the cheap seats at the tail. But anyway, but I had my own plane, and we were flying, and we were coming back from Northern Ireland and over Luton, somewhere around there. The pilot lost total control of the aircraft. Had passengers in the back. And I had the headset on, I was sitting in the right seat. And the pilot said to me, he says, "I've lost all control of this aircraft. Engine stopped." It's not good to have engine stopped. Okay. That is not a good thing when you're flying. And planes coming out of the air, we're coming to the ground. He's quite excited to receive us. And I said to the pilot, I said, "Don't worry." "It's amazing what you say. Don't worry. We're going to be all right." Like, "Hello, Don. No motor. I've lost control. We're falling. Don't worry about it. We're going to be all right." And that's how Moses was approached. "What are you going to do about it? Look at them. They're coming at us. Not, these aren't just anybody. These are the crack troops. This is the number one military in the world bearing down on us. And we can't run. We got nowhere to go." What's the man of God say? "Lord, what am I doing?" God says, "Stop complaining and do it. What do you got in your hand?" It wasn't near as pretty as this. "Oh, I just got this old stick." "What do you got to work with?" 100 pounds. "I got an old beat up saxophone. I got a Bible. I'm not even sure if it's the right translation." "But what do you have?" And Moses, without hesitation, said, "That was rough. Stretch it out." That's what God does with us. We think we see, whenever miracles occur, we wonder how we are going to do it. But you have got the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. you know Jesus, and you've got faith, do it. Just do it. But what if somebody doesn't like it? I'm going to tell you something I want you to remember. No matter what you do in the kingdom, somebody's not going to like it. Are you fine with that, Lisa?
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. What's he done? What did he say? He wants us to walk across the sea. When? I don't know. He'll tell us. I'm going to tell you, all night that wind blew. And in the morning, remember when my wife was talking to me about the hard clay? That clay was hard. I don't know the width of it. People still, you know, theologians, they all talk about how wide it was. It doesn't matter. It was wide enough to get Israel across. Hallelujah. And it was wide enough for the man's faith when he spoke it and said, I was a tent evangelist for many years, and I would travel my tent, and I would see where Oral Roberts had his big truck, A.A. Allen had his big truck, you know, Grant had his big truck, Lindsay had, and what did I have? I had a little half-ton truck, and usually we had to borrow. We didn't even own the truck. I owned a tent. That's all I owned was a tent. I never did own a truck to move it. But move it we did. And I'm going to tell you without exaggeration, hundreds came into the kingdom of God in Canada. Hundreds were filled with the Holy Ghost. Hundreds. I could go on. Miracles. Families were changed. Lives were changed. What do you have? I have a stupid patched up tent that I drove down to Florida. Don't even ask me how I got it here. I think I borrowed a truck. And I've got that. And God says, that's what you got, Don. That's what you work with. And Moses, if you've got that stick, you use that stick. And you, every one of you, have something for your miracle to come to pass in your life. Everybody. I can't go to the meeting because I don't have new shoes. Put the old ones on. It could be. I'm not going to say it is. It could be that maybe by the time you get to the church, God will make them brand new. I've never heard of it happening, but you know what? Could happen.
Some say, well, you don't need shoes even, Brother Carpenter.
I know. The Egyptians didn't have to chase them. Oh, I was reading. Where did I leave off? Let's start at verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, that's it. This is the moment when we realize that things have gone seriously wrong somewhere. When Pharaoh, I'm in verse 10, Exodus 14. When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, what did they see? They had a chance to see God. Remember that. There was an option. They had a chance to see God. They had a chance to see what the Father's plan was. But oh no. 400 years of tradition. 400 years of hearing the story. It can't be done and it can't be changed. What do they see? They see their oppressor coming upon them. My mother died with this, and her mother. Now I've got the same thing. I'm going to die. Stop that. Let's break that trend. Let's break that mold. My father died of cancer at 63, 64 years old. He didn't want to die. I've had cancer two or three times. But I'm going to tell you right now, I thank God. Somehow, I've been able to hold that rod up and say, we're going to cross this one. We've never done this before. Our church doesn't believe in that. Okay, I'm just telling you. If you want a miracle, if you want a change, you're going to have to start grabbing a hold of some stuff you haven't been hanging on to or getting a hold of. You're going to have to come in contact with it, and you're going to have to say, Brother Don, I can do this. Yes, you can. Whether you believe it or not, I do it. I do lots of pastors' conferences. I was in Peru just a few months back doing one. And I'm in meetings, and I'm always, my radar is always moving and thinking, Lord, who are you calling here in this midst? And I'll see these young guys, maybe some of the young girls too, but I'll see the young people, and I'll see them looking. I have a story, another one, that impacted me so much. I was a young preacher, young, married, dad, with probably three kids. And I went on my very first overseas international trip. And it was in, here we go, Guyana, South America. I'm just going to tell you, if you're Guyanese tonight, please don't be offended. But of 68 countries of the world, Guyana would be the last choice. It's got mosquitoes there that you wouldn't believe. They've even got a luggage hold. Like, I mean, these things are massive. They are relentless. Personally, I don't like mosquitoes. They got cockroaches, you get the picture. Snakes that are deadly in one bite. And I'm here in this place. And I'm going to preach on a Sunday night. I remember it. There's no taxi service. I already agreed to come. And it is way out in the cane fields. It's a long ways. And the taxi that took me, I said to the driver, please don't leave me. Just stay at the end of the meeting. You know, I want to go back. Don't leave me here. And he did. He came into the meeting. What happened to him? I can't remember. But what I do remember is when I was leaving, 8, 10 young men, 18, 16, 19, 20 years of age. I'm in a little Austin prefect. Maybe it's a minor. You people know those cars better than me. It was English. And I hired the car, but somehow or another, 10 or 12 people got in it besides me. So I'm against the window. I rolled down the window. You know what they said to me? Just hold out your arm. Just hold out your arm. Car was driving, and they were running, hanging onto my arm, just wanting to get what I had. Just wanting to be able to do what I do. Just to be able to preach. And it got inside of them. See, in my early days, all of these things happened, and it set my, what do you call it?
Hopes.
All of that. It set. And that was it. That's where I want you to be, church. That's what God wants us. We set it, we do it. Yes, there's lots of things that come against us. I told you this morning, I've had lots of failures. I've had times that I'm going to say, I made the worst decision of my life. What do you do? I do it. I make another decision the same way. So I'm going to do it. And I do it the same way. I move by faith. Well, it didn't work the first time. Well, just think what the chances are this time. I'm going for it. That's what it is. I got a choice. Set there. Worry about what could be done? Who doesn't like it? Who says it can't be done? Or is there something inside of me that says, I can cross this river? I can do this. I've had a wonderful life. I'm in my 80s. I've had a wonderful life. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I've already told the doctor, I saw the, what do you call him? He's a heart specialist of some kind. And he says, I don't know, I can't stop you, but he says, you're a man, he gave my age, said, going on 70. If I can do it, you can do it. Bobby, think about it. Yeah. Well, if I can get from my door down there Sunday night, that'll be something. Get home and have crackers and cheese. Amen. God's got this great plan for your life. And we don't know what to do. We start doing it. Remember the woman that spoke earlier tonight had nothing to say? She did find a microphone. And to my amazement, she said, pretty good, but see, God's looking for us to do that.
Yes.
He's looking for the church to do that. I am not waiting to send him back and say, come and get me, Jesus. That would be wonderful. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's too many yet to bring in. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to bring. There's no greater feeling, no greater event takes place in your life when you lead somebody to the Lord. You do it. You don't drag them off the pastor. You do it. You bring them to the Lord. You pray for them and you see the miracle, and so on it goes. And Moses says, we're off and we're going to have a brand new adventure. Things are going to happen that hasn't even entered your mind yet. Does that sound familiar? Some people will say, oh, Brother Don, that's when we get over yonder. Hallelujah. I believe there's things. God is doing great and mighty things. When I talk to young people today, entering the ministry, and they'll ask me questions, we will talk, and I love it, and we will chat. And I tell them that they are living in the greatest time in church history right now. I had guys like Oral Roberts, J.A. Allen, Billy Graham, you know, lots of those guys to influence my life. Catherine Kuhlman, have you been reading for me? Yeah. Listening to those radio programs, going to a church that, you know, you understand what I'm saying? I'm so glad I made that decision. I am so glad that I gave my heart to the Lord. And I'm so glad that I let Him fill me with His Holy Ghost.
Yes, amen.
I'm so glad. See, I prayed for Him not to do that. The brethren are praying for me. Fill them with the Holy Ghost, Jesus. Right now, fill them with the Holy Ghost. I mean, they're at me, and I'm sitting there saying, Jesus, don't let me get it. I don't want it. It's all the devil. Remember, I spent 400 years listening to that kind of talk. God isn't doing stuff like that anymore. Oh, did I get my number of years wrong? I am making my point. They have a history. Hallelujah. I was very proud of myself. I got up off my knees. I walked out of the church. And I still wasn't talking in tongues. I'm thinking, Jesus, we did it. Thank you. It doesn't work that way. Amen. The Holy Ghost had me.
Praise the Lord.
It was just a matter of hours. And it was going to change. I woke up. Spoke in tongues the next morning in the room and house where I was, and I was having breakfast with the pastor and his wife that day, and I told them about this, and they looked, and I'm thinking, why are they excited? And they said, what did you say? And I said, I'm not going to tell you what I said. Why not? Because I don't know what it means. And from there, the journey has begun. That's my story. I walked across. The way was made, and I walked across the way. Do you understand me? The way was there, and I walked across. Somebody made the way. You know, I know now, but I didn't know then. Somebody would be working a 40-hour week, 50-hour week, earning money, trying to raise a family, paying his rent. And in the meantime, he rents a Skid Row mission downtown to try to reach some people, some winos, some... prostitutes and drug addicts. That's who I work with. I can ministry. And probably his last dollar he's put into keep those doors open, feeding them every night. I don't know what's going on, but I'm sitting in those meetings because as I walk across that dry land, I'm walking into a place that I've never been before. Now I know, see, the thing, you're the choir. I know you know what I'm talking about. But I'm going to tell you right now, sometimes we forget. Sometimes we need to be reminded. Somebody has stretched forth the rod. Somebody is saying, come on, let's do it. Just like tonight. Somebody made a decision. Somebody made a decision for me to be here. Somebody. Sure, Don. Come on. Let's go. Come on. Irene, let's go. Come on, Sadie. I know you're not used to it. Yes, I know there's a lot of shouting going on. But let's go. Does anybody know where I left off?
Was it 11?
No, much further than that. 12, I'm at verse 12. And it's 12 minutes past 8. That's a sign. Is not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? Didn't we tell you that? No. You gave us this big sermon, how that God had set us free and a way would be made for us and we can do it. And we bought in, hook, line, and sinker. You didn't leave us alone. If you left us alone, we wouldn't be in this spot that we are today. Because all they can see is when they get back, they're going to be treated much worse than what they That's all they see. Surely that must have discouraged Moses. He must have said, does nobody believe me? Can you imagine 800,000, 1 million, 2 million people all yelling, sending their representatives and telling Moses that we've had our board meeting and the decision is you have made the wrong decision. Ever heard of a people doing this? And now you've got us in this place. And how do you intend to get us out of this? I am so thankful that Moses did not continue in that board meeting. He went out and did what God told him. And he parted the waters.
Hallelujah.
A way was made where there is no way. And God has got a way for you tonight where there is no way, whether it's a marriage situation, whether it's terminal illness of some sort, whether it is you're in financial problems, whether tonight maybe even your very faith, you're not even sure. We're somewhere. You could be somewhere then. There's somebody here. Anyway. And Moses said to the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you when?
Today.
No. It's when we die and go over yonder. See that today word, it shows up all the time when there's faith involved. You'd be amazed how many times that today word shows up. That today word makes a difference between those that do it and those that dream about it. That today word. That is an amazing word. And we get a hold of that. Ken, how's my voice sounding?
Better all the time. And it's getting stronger.
I haven't been able to talk for what, 7 months? I was like this. I booked this trip talking like this. I got a story to tell when I get to Southampton. I'm going to make them jealous so I didn't go first. I'll have 500 people plus sitting there Sunday morning and they're going to be jealous. You didn't have Ken in your crowd. He was sitting there in Guernsey. Can you tell me something? When I'm at home and I haven't been to Guernsey for a year or two or whatever, you know what I hear? I hear Ken speaking. You got to get here more often.
Right.
That's what you told me.
Yeah.
And guess what? I believe it. Hopefully Don buys into it and stays with us. We're going to go for it. No, I want you to be encouraged, bro. God does miracles in places like this. Matter of fact, some of the greatest miracles I've ever seen have been just in small groups. It's amazing how many miracles occur with just a few people. It's amazing. So anyway, he said God's going to do it. I'm summarizing. You're not going to see those Egyptians anymore. That thing that's been troubling you, there's hope here. You're not going to see it anymore. You're going to deal with it, and you're not going to see it anymore. And you talk to somebody that's got diabetes. You talk to somebody that's got cancer and it keeps reoccurring. You talk to them, and you give them a word, and you say, it's not going to happen anymore. The only way for that to be possible, the only way, because not even medical science will give you that. Rarely would they give you that. Conclusion. The only kind of people you're going to get that kind of conclusion from are faith people. Do you know something I don't know? Obviously. We're going to have a miracle and it isn't going to bother you anymore. Don't you just love that kind of gospel?
Yes. Yes.
Don't you love a God that says, I make a way where there is no way?
No,
don't you love it when he says, you're not going to walk this way anymore?
No.
Brother Don, I've been struggling for years with this. I know. Many people that have issues in their life, they struggle with it for years. I know that. But how wonderful it is when it's not going to be anymore.
Yes.
Money can't buy that. Okay?
Yes.
Money can't buy it. They start across. I got to close. They start across. Never did get to my water. They start across. And there's water piled up all over the place. And there they go. And Sadie says, wait for me. Hurry up, Sadie. Let's go. I'm doing the best I can. I'm going to make it. They didn't have any animals to carry her. And the young guys were running and laughing. They were far ahead. And she's trying to make it. I'm going to tell you, Sadie made it. Israel didn't lose a person across that river. And Egypt didn't save a person.
That's right.
Think about that. A way was made where there was no way. My job that I have to do with you tonight is to bring you and leave you in a position where God can do anything. And it's going to be amazing what he wants to do in my life. I'm going to tell you something. It's probably every one of you here, God has told you that he's going to do something in your life and it's not yet happened. There's probably something that I'm going to tell you, if God told you, it's going to come to pass. Did they get across? Absolutely. Did Egypt make it? No way. No way. They all died. All died. Never saw them again. Was that the end of their battles? Don't put words in my mouth. Hallelujah. All I know is that they weren't going to bother them anymore. And God kept his word. It's no secret. This is where we play. It's old. This is probably from the 1950s. Wouldn't be a bit surprised. Stuart Hamlin, I believe. Got saved under Billy Graham. Got saved in Billy Graham's house. And that's the night he wrote the song. It is no secret what God can do.
Oh,
pump the water. And maybe you have, you know, things haven't been the hottest between you and God. What is he really doing? I just want to rededicate. I want to start over fresh. And I want to start tonight.